I welcome you to join us in the reading of God's holy and blessed word as we find it in Romans chapter 1, reading there the first 17 verses. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be at Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my Spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let's in faith come to God through Christ. Our Father, we come to Thee, who has told us that without faith it is impossible to please Thee, that he that cometh to Thee must believe that Thou art, and that Thou art a rewarder of them that diligently seek Thee. We do come, Father, believing those words given. We believe, Father, that because of Christ, we can be received, and because of him, we can be rewarded, not for what we have done, but for what he has done and what he has paid for on the cross. We think of those words written to another church, that he became poor that we might be rich. We pray, Father, in his name that we might have those riches imparted to us through thy word and by the mighty power of the Holy Spirit, that he might take these things of Christ and show them to us today as we have read of them, that we might believe them, that we might have them working in us, even the power of his life, the power of his death, the power of his blood, the power of his resurrection. We give thanks, Father, that that gospel is thy power unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We pray that wherever thy word is heard today, that it might be blessed mightily by the Holy Spirit. We pray also that it may soon be sent to the many, where the fields are still wet under the harvest and where the labors are few, the many that are in ignorance and many children and many homes that hear the gospel spoken against but do not hear it spoken as a message to be believed and to be received. a message which is Thy power unto salvation. We pray, Father, that Thou would guide us in these thoughts concerning Christ as we have read of them and as we now consider them. We pray that through this we might be able to glorify Thy name, that we might see the church revived, and that we also may know that sinners are brought into Thy kingdom, that Thou wilt build the church, Lord Jesus, and that, Father, Thou wilt look upon the church even as we sang, Zion founded on the mountains, God Thy Maker loves Thee well. We pray, Father, that because of Christ, that love may be shown to us and to all who are in Thy church and to the world as well, that they may know that Thou hast given Christ and that in believing in Him they will not perish but have everlasting life. We pray for these needs first of all and above all. We pray also for other needs that we have. We pray for the leaders of nations. We pray that in these troublous times there may yet be peace on earth and that we might be able to live quiet and peaceable lives. We pray for freedom for those that are being persecuted. We ask Thy blessing on the many in sickness, the many in suffering in other ways. We pray for those in sorrow. And we pray, Father, that through all these afflictions, many might learn that we are here but for a moment, and we have here no abiding city, but that we might look for one of whom Thou art the builder and the maker, all through Christ. Amen. As we continue in this epistle, we considered some of the thoughts of the first verses last week. We read in those first four verses, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead. Paul, through Christ, had received grace and apostleship, as he states further, and also the blessings that he spoke of that were known in this church at Rome. We saw some of the prophecies and some of the promises given last week as they were written by Moses, first of all given to before Satan and to Adam and Eve. Also the promise given to Abraham, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, as we see it recorded in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. Those same words are repeated later to Isaac and to Jacob. And many of the saints in the Old Testament knew this wonderful message. Job stated, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and shall stand upon the earth in the last day. He knew that there was a Redeemer in heaven and would return one day to this earth. It's amazing how he could state that even before Christ had come in the flesh and lived and died and rose again. He knew that he served a mighty Redeemer and that he himself would see him. There are many other prophecies that we have in the Old Testament, as we read Paul referring to here in the second verse, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, and then the promises concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. David himself spoke of Christ in Psalm 16. We see those wonderful words that David spoke of, both the faith that he had in Christ and also the prophecy of the resurrection of Christ. In Psalm 16, verse 7, we read David's words, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. The Lord was teaching him in the night as he meditated on the Lord and as the Lord revealed these things then to him. In verse 8 we read, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. And then those wonderful words in verse 10 of the resurrection of Christ. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. We know, certainly by the pen of Peter, that this was spoken of as the resurrection of Christ. In Acts chapter 2, we see Peter's words recorded in verse 29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. And then Peter said to those before him, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Over and over, we can see the promises that God gave through the different prophets. David was one of those prophets. Isaiah was another one. In Isaiah chapter 7, we read, verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel, meaning God with us. What a wonderful blessing we have in those Old Testament prophets. When Paul was preaching to the Jews especially, he showed from those prophets and from the Old Testament scriptures that Jesus was the Christ, that he was the fulfillment of what those prophets had written many years before he came. Also in Isaiah, we read in the 9th chapter, that wonderful prophecy, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. When Paul writes, he states, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Isaiah stated about 300 years after David lived and 700 years before Christ came here on earth that he would be upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. This was not a physical throne. This was not a physical kingdom. The Lord Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world, else would my servants fight. But his kingdom was a spiritual kingdom. It was a kingdom of righteousness. It was the kingdom of God being shown through God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is speaking of here when he said that he was a servant of Jesus Christ, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. He who is the eternal God took on him the form of a man. He became flesh And as John writes in his gospel, he dwelt among us. Other prophets wrote of Christ as well. Micah spoke of how he would be born in Bethlehem. And others spoke of him. Zechariah spoke even as in the first person, as if the Lord Jesus himself was speaking and stating, I will pour upon the house of Israel the spirit of grace and supplication. And then he stated, and they will mourn after him whom they have pierced. Oh, how we ought to pray that that spirit of grace and supplication might be poured upon Israel today, that they will know whom they have pierced, that they will know that God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, the Lord of each and every one of us, particularly that are in the church, was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. He was promised, and he has come. And as Paul writes here further in verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. It is hard to understand all of these things, especially in the time sequence. We think of the time before Christ and after Christ. We date our time in history as A.D. and B.C. We think of ourselves being in the year of our Lord. He was born over 2,000 years ago. But we also think of him here as declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. Even though he is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, he also had to experience these particular things, and they had to be experienced in time. When God used Abraham and David as examples of faith, as we can see in the fourth chapter of this same epistle to the church at Rome, first, God inspired Paul to write about Abraham, and then about David, and then again about Abraham in the rest of the chapter. In the last part of the chapter, we read in verse 23, now it was not written for his sake alone, referring to Abraham, that it was imputed to him, speaking of the righteousness that Abraham had by faith. But verse 24, for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. This is one of the blessings that we have in the way that this power of Christ's resurrection is manifest, not only before us and a fact of history, but as well in us. When we read these words again from Romans chapter 1, verse 4, declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Paul himself realized that that's where the power was. When he wrote to the Philippians, he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. The Apostle Paul wanted that for himself. This wasn't just some intellectual teaching. This wasn't just historic facts. It is all of that. It needs to be taught. We need to receive it in our mind. We need to believe it actually happened. It is a true fact of history. But it is much more than that. Others who have lived may leave some mark on history and some mark for us. We are living in the United States of America. We might say because the Pilgrim forefathers came here. We might say that we have the freedom that we do because of men like George Washington. We could say that Abraham Lincoln left his mark on history. But all very little. Not really that we have power from them, but the Lord Jesus Christ is not only a man, he is God. He is God, our Creator. And yet, it is through his death and resurrection that he, the Creator, imparts power to us, his creatures. That's what Paul is speaking of when he says, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. What a wonderful blessing Paul had, and he also speaks of that to the church here at Rome. And it is equally for us today, if we believe, if we have faith in his name, and especially when we think of who is so named, his name shall be called Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. That was the message of the angel, as we mentioned last week in closing, when the angel came and told Joseph, his name shall be called Jesus, and then gave the reason why. Again, that was not just for the people of that day. It was not just for the Jews. It is for them, as we read in verse 16, to the Jew first, but also to the Greek. And as a message to be preached to the whole world, there is not one of you, no matter in what part of the world you are today, that this message does not come to you. It is for you. It is from God to you. Paul could say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You can hear it today. I've read it to you. I'm trying to tell it to you. And I hope you have believed it to the saving of your soul. That's for any of you that may be in false religions. It may be for you that are in ignorance and have not heard the message. It is also for you that may have been in church all your life, like the Jews were, like Paul was, religious, but did not know the power of Christ. I was talking to a person this week who said they didn't really know earlier in their life that they were saved, and then said they always had this fuzzy feeling but didn't know what it was. Well, I still don't know what that really was and what that person was really talking about. The Bible doesn't speak in such language. It speaks of power. It speaks of faith. It speaks that God so loved us. It speaks of the new birth, being born again by the Spirit. It speaks of the forgiveness of sins. It speaks of faith coming by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That certainly will give a feeling. But it will be a feeling that is also based on truth, based on the Word of God. It is in accord, as Paul states here so wonderfully, which he has promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. Just before Christ died, he prayed, I've glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. He had the Spirit of holiness. He did everything to the glory of the Father. And then he died, and then rose again, as Paul said, having this power by the resurrection from the dead. Oh, I hope and pray that you believe this, as Paul stated it here, that you might have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for God's glory and your eternal blessing. Join us next week.